Scripture reading today is from Acts 17, 22 through 31. In this passage, we learn about in God we live and move and have our being. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, to an unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord, proclaim to you. He who is Lord of heaven and earth does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything. Since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things, from one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offsprings. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think about the deity as like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Did you ever watch the 1998 animation movie called The Prince of Egypt? I did. I watched the movie when my two daughters were younger, probably ages at that time 12 and 2. I think we either rented or bought a VHS tape for home viewing, if you can still remember. Anyhow, I believe The Prince of Egypt is one of the best animated movies that are based on the Bible. Because of its many awards and accolades, the movie is still loved by many people. And today it's available on DVD, Blu-ray, and even 4K ultra high definition format. Anyhow, one of the most interesting facts about this movie is that unlike many other traditional and typical Hollywood movies based on the Bible, this Prince of Egypt movie makers created the voice of God in a very special and unique way that no one has ever done it before. As you remember from the Bible, there is a profound scene when Moses is encountering with God through the burning bush. I'm sure you are familiar with this amazing story of the Prince of Egypt turned to the fugitive and shepherd Moses receiving God's call on the Mount Horeb. Did you know how they created the voice of God? The voice actor for Moses was Val Kilmer. And I learned that later that his voice was also the main voice of God, along with many other staff members' voices in the background. Interesting, isn't it? I thought it was a really brilliant idea that makes us think about how God is close enough to communicate with us through our own human voices with everyone's voice around us. It is true that we cannot limit or imagine how God communicates with us in many ways, including the Bible, reading, prayers, insights, meditations, music, reflections, and many more. Even though we can never hear God's voice like a human voice, God always speaks to us through our heart, our mind, our conscience, and many other ways, mainly because we are in God and God is in us. That is right. God is not far away. God is not separated from this world or distanced from the people of God created. Yes, simply, this is the one of the core points of panentheism. This is the second concept of God, according to Marcus Borg. What is panentheism? Pan means all, and means in. And theism is, of course, belief in the existence of God. So simply put, everything is in God. Then you might wonder, what is the difference between pantheism and panentheism? While pantheism asserts that all is God, like everything is God, panentheism, on the other hand, claims that God is greater than the universe. Yes, God is everywhere, right here and right now. According to Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy, panentheism considers God and the world to be interrelated, with the world being in God and being God being in the world, unquote. So I'd like to briefly share with you three main points of this panentheism concept of God. First, God is the encompassing spirit in everything, which includes the universe. Yes, the universe is not separate from God. That's why this concept is called panentheism. Even though this term is only about 200 years old, and the notion and the concept are very ancient, unlike the concept of supernatural theism that views God as a supreme being who is far away out there, somewhere in the sky, space, or the universe. This emerging paradigm-shaped concept of panentheism views God as the encompassing God who is indeed in everything and who is everywhere. Yes, God is in everything, in your life, in this earth, and in the universe. God is holding your life, your death, your future, and beyond everything. God is not separate from the world we are living in and from the whole universe. Number two, God is the one in whom we live and move and have our being. This morning's scripture reading is from Book of Acts. Apostle Paul is preaching to the Athenians in Greece. Paul has learned that Athenians are very religious, faithful, and sincere. However, they appear to believe in an unknown God rather than the true God who created everything out of nothing. Paul then is proclaiming who God really is. It's verse 24. The God who made the world and everything in it, He who is Lord and of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands. Then he emphasizes how God can be in us too. Verse 27, God is not far from each one of us. In verse 28, he even quotes one of the famous Greek poets, so that the Athenians can understand better. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Yes, exactly. This is the perfect, this is the, a perfect summary of what panentheism is all about. In God, we live and move and have our being. God is right here and more than right here. Absolutely. Amen. Number three, God is transcendent and immanent. The term panentheism, after all, is not any new or modern invention, but an ancient and traditional concept of God. The central two claims of a panentheism are transcendence and immanence. Even though we are not aware or do not say these words, we have been experiencing and affirming these two claims since we became Christians. As a matter of fact, the word transcendence includes both expressions, God is up in heaven and God is everywhere. Yes, the first expression, God is up in heaven, which has been taken mostly literally, is based on the earlier paradigm. Then this transcendence term claims an expansion of its view beyond confining God in a limited space or dimension. God is not limited. God is not stuck in any space, but God is everywhere. Another word for transcendence would be omnipresence. I'm sure you are familiar with that the expression. It's the same meaning. God is present everywhere. Throughout the Bible, which is the heart of our tradition, we can find many verses about God's transcendence. Remember Psalm 139? Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. The Hebrew word Sheol means the state of being dead, like hell. So here are two words, heaven and Sheol, are expressed as contrasting words. The point of the psalmist here is that God is with you everywhere you are and everywhere you go to. In the New Testament, Apostle Paul proclaims in Colossians 1:17, he himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Again, God is always present in the foundation of your being. Of course, sometimes you just cannot help feeling some kind of negative thought that God doesn't seem to be in your life, or God is not with you when you are going through all kinds of hardships, trials, or troubles. You might feel that God is far away or even absent. No, you must realize that God is still with you, with God's steadfast love. God is rejoicing with you when you are rejoicing. God is grieving with you when you are grieving. Yes, God knows your deepest heart. So you've got to be brave and strong because you have faith in God, who is always watching over you. Yes, from this morning's scripture, indeed, he is not far from each one of us. In the gospel, Jesus teaches us how to pray to God, who can listen to you at anywhere and at any time. Matthew 6:6 says, But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Moreover, the word imminence simply means the state of being present. In terms of panentheism, I would call this imminence as your relationship with God. Your relationship with God matters most because your relationship that God is in you and you are in God determines how you will live your meaningful life by loving one another. 1 John 4:12 says, "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us." Yes, indeed. In the same John, 1 John chapter, here are the highlights. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. I'd like to share with you an excerpt from the book, God Has a Dream, a Vision of a Hope for Our Time, written by the late South African Anglican Bishop Desmond Tutu. Quote, "All over this magnificent world, God calls us to extend his kingdom of shalom, peace, and wholeness, of justice, of goodness, of compassion, of caring, of sharing, of laughter, of joy, of reconciliation. God is transfiguring the world right this very moment through us because God believes in us and because God loves us. What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And as we share God's love with our brothers and sisters, God's other children, there is no tyrant who can resist us, no opposition that cannot be ended, no hunger that cannot be fed, no wound that cannot be healed, no hatred that cannot be turned into love, no dream that cannot be fulfilled." Unquote. My brothers and sisters in Christ, as I conclude my sermon this morning on the topic of panentheism, here are my two most important truths about God that I have discovered and experienced through my 60-plus years of life. So far, I have shared with many things about God and faith. You may forget about all kinds of different doctrines, theological views, traditions, paradigms, and everything else, all right? Of course, it is important for us to learn and relearn all kinds of perspectives so that we can be better and more loving Christians. However, remember and following these two simple things are more important for the rest of your life. Number one, God loves you unconditionally so that you can live a meaningful and fruitful life. Number two, love everyone so that you can experience God's love being multiplied through your loving and caring relationships. Now, heads up. For the next 2 weeks, to be exact, from October 4th through October 17th, I will be gone for my vacation. I will be back in the office on October 18th. Then on Sundays on October 22nd and 29th, I will be sharing with you my sermons on stewardship. So, my sermon series on God will continue on November 5th. To be continued. Thanks be to God. Amen.